Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would come and speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks, Adrian, for reading that. So that what we've just had was the account in Acts of Pentecost. What you may not know is that it's not actually the first Pentecost in the Bible. Pentecost was actually a Jewish festival, and it occurs about 50 days after Passover. So you'll have all probably heard of Passover festival, the highlight of the Jewish calendar, when everyone would get together and celebrate the amazing, marvelous redemption of God's people from slavery into freedom. So Passover, 50 days later, the Israelites, having escaped from Egypt, are now in the desert. They know that God is real. After all, they've just seen his amazing acts of power. They know he's real. But they don't know what he's like, because no one can know or speak or hear or touch God. No one. God's far too lofty and high for that. No one could ever have the audacity to say, "I know God. I've heard him speak to me." So imagine the shock and horror when Moses comes to the gathered people of Israel and says, "Come, we're going to get around the mountain, this Mount Sinai, because God wants to show himself to us and he wants to speak to us." This has never happened before. This is unheard of. It's such a momentous event that it takes them 3 days to get ready, to clean, to get their best clothes out, to ensure that they are in a fit state to meet with God. So 3 days of preparation and cleaning, and then they gather around this mountain. And God comes to meet with them, and there are noises, weird noises they've never heard of before. They're strange. And people are so frightened, they start trembling. And then God appears, but you can't see him, but they know he's there because he's hidden behind smoke and fire. And then God calls Moses up the mountain and gives him the Ten Commandments. Now, just a bit of a side note, we often think that God giving commandments is about God telling us what to do, giving us the rules for living like he wants us to. But actually, God, through giving his commandments to Moses, is saying, "This is what I am like. This is who I am. I am the truth. There is no double standards in me. So if you want to know me, then speak the truth. I am the faithful God. I will always be with you. I will never, ever leave you. So be faithful to your partner in marriage. Don't betray each other." So what God does is he comes in his power and his presence, and he meets with his people and says, "This is what I am like. You can know me." And what an amazing event for the people of Israel. This was absolutely a turning point in their history. And that is the right reason why year after year they would celebrate not only Passover and the great escape from slavery, they would then celebrate Pentecost 50 days after Passover, from the Greek word Pentecon, Pentecost, so 50 days after Passover. And from then on, Pentecost becomes a fixed point in their calendar to remember and rejoice that God, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-wise one, showed himself and made himself known to his people. So now we fast forward 1,500 years to Roman-occupied Palestine, where a group of Jews once again gather for Passover. This time, the one who's leading the meal, Jesus, who has made many claims to be God, says, "This Passover is different. I am now the Passover. I am the one who will rescue you and set you free." 3 days later, after having been killed for making those kind of claims, Jesus rises again. Many see him, and then he goes back to heaven. But before he goes back, he says, "I will still be with you. I might be going back, but I will still be with you through my Spirit." And I'm quite sure the disciples had no idea what that meant. For when they gathered again on the day of Pentecost, they were not gathering there thinking, "This is it. This is when Jesus is coming by his Spirit." They were gathering there to remember how God had appeared to his people all that time ago. And this time, as they recall the noise on Mount Sinai, a wonderful, terrifying noise fills the room. As they think back and remember how God appeared in smoke and fire, they look around and it looks like there's fire amongst the people present. As they remember how God revealed himself through his ways and his rules written on stone, now they start to experience him in their hearts and minds. So there are two Pentecosts in the Bible. The first one in the desert, in Exodus, if you ever want to look it up, about Exodus 19 to 24. And then the second one that Adrian read us this morning in Acts 2. And I'd always known that there were these two Pentecosts and that they both involve a gathering of people. Both have noises and weird phenomena, shaking fire. I've always known that there were parallels, but I've never really sort of thought beyond that. And this week, as I was starting to get ready for preaching today, I thought, what about if we go back and look at that first Pentecost and try to understand what are we supposed to take from that first Pentecost in order to help us really understand what it meant for God to come to us through his Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Acts. And so really what I want to do, that's all background, and I just want to share with you this morning just two things that I've really learned through putting those two stories of Pentecost alongside to each other. And in short, the two things that I've really learned is, firstly, we mustn't take the Holy Spirit for granted. And secondly, it's not all about me. So we mustn't take the Holy Spirit for granted, and it's not all about me. So first of all, we mustn't take the Holy Spirit for granted. As you read the account of Mount Sinai and God appearing to his people in Exodus 19, you cannot help but notice the separation. And God says to his people, come, gather round, but keep your distance. I want to speak to you, but there are limits. Don't come too close. He calls Moses up to the top of the mountain, but even when Moses comes up, God won't show him his face. So there's revelation as God shows himself to his people, but there's also separation. Don't come too close. God is too powerful, too awesome. So there's revelation, but there's separation. In the Acts account of Pentecost, there is once again revelation. God shows himself in power and might and awe. But this time, instead of separation, there is intimacy. There is closeness. And we can see that over and over and over again in the New Testament. Jesus says to his disciples, when I go and I appear to you through the Holy Spirit, you won't be afraid and terrified by the power. Instead, in John 17, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So you won't be running away because of the power, but the power will come in you and work through you. Paul says, don't you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Not separation, but in. No, I think we're good. The Holy Spirit is not something to run away from, but it's something that's going to come close and be in you and work through you. And as I reflected on that, I just was blown away. We take it for granted, don't we, that the Holy Spirit just comes, that we enjoy his presence. But when you read it through the lens of the separation of the Old Testament, we realize what a privilege it is. We realize the barriers that God, that Jesus has taken down to enable us to not only see his power, but experience the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. And actually, there's no better way of understanding the way that those two accounts of Pentecost sit alongside each other than to read Hebrews 12, 22. You have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness and gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, and to a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear it any longer. The sight was so terrifying. And Moses said, I am trembling with fear. So you've not come to that. You have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of righteous made perfect. Not separation, intimacy. We must not take the Holy Spirit, we must not take Pentecost for granted. We must come again. And I've just been living in, I guess, in gratitude over the last few days as I've sort of been thinking on these things. And I'm inviting you this morning to be part of that gratitude. What a gift we have. Not separation, but revelation and intimacy. So that's the first thing that I've really been thinking about this week. We mustn't take the Holy Spirit for granted. The second thing that I've learned is it's not all about me. Now, Ian quite often challenges me, and he'll say things like, Ruth, it's not all about you. There's a bigger picture here. It's not all about you. And I think that's what God's been saying to me about the Holy Spirit this week. There's a temptation for us, particularly those of us sort of probably on the sort of the charismatic sort of end of things, to think that the Holy Spirit, how wonderful, makes me feel topped up and close to God and blessed. It's wonderful. But I actually don't think that's what the Holy Spirit is about at all. In the first Pentecost, what God was saying to the people of Israel was, I have chosen you out of all the people in the world, out of all the nations, I have just chosen you, and I will show myself to you. In the second Pentecost, you might have noticed something that just was not there in the first Pentecost, that there were people from all around the world that was, as it was known then, who heard their language spoken by others. And it was not so much, I have chosen you out of all the people, but as I have chosen you to go to all the people. And that is the change. It's not, Holy Spirit is not about us and the warm and the fuzzies, but it is part of God's trajectory of you are blessed to be a blessing. You have been given so that you might give. That always expanding, ever outgrowing, outgoing movement of God's news, that it is not just about you, but it is for the blessing and the growth and the extending of my kingdom to all people. So it's not just all about me. And I know that's a real tendency. And actually, Paul, even 50 years later, after that second Pentecost, even 50 years later, we know that in the church in Corinth, they were already starting to think the Holy Spirit is all about me. And Paul had to write to them and say, actually, the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not just for you to be having a great time on when you gather together. It is for the blessing and outpouring to others, that you might go, not that you might stay, but that you might go. And we quite often talk, don't we, in our church family about the triangle, about the up, about the in, the way that we relate to each other, and about the out. And I think it's really easy for us to think the Holy Spirit is just all about sort of activating the side of the triangle that connects us to God. It's that nice little seal around the in part of our Christian faith. And I think we need to be challenged again that it is not all about me, but the Holy Spirit is actually activating us for the out, to be sent, to go. And we know that that's what happened after that second Pentecost. We know that not only were 3,000 people saved that day, but it activated those who were there to go out of their comfort zones, to get out of what they knew, and to take the good news of Jesus out. So I guess that's it. I think that's it, really. I think that's all I wanted to say. I wanted just to pass on those two things that I've really been challenged and blessed with this week. Let's not take for granted. Let's not take for granted the Holy Spirit, this wonderful day of Pentecost. And let's remember that it's not just about us, that we are part of something much, much bigger. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation of the Holy Spirit, the fact that you call us to you, that we don't have to get ourselves ready for you to come, and that you, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wonderful, all-wise God, came to us. We thank you for that invitation, and we pray that those of us who really need to this morning might hear that invitation. we also hear, Lord, that challenge to go. It's not just about us. Come, Holy Spirit.